Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Well, I do thank God for the opportunity we have to worship together and to pray together. The message that I bring today is a message of hope. It's the church calendar, which some churches follow far more rigorously than I do, starts with Advent next week. That's when the church year begins, as we anticipate the coming of Jesus. And Advent was set up as a time we'd call it penitence in the old language, a time to refocus on Jesus. Just like Lent is a time to refocus on the cross, Advent is a time to refocus. And it's so hard to refocus during the Christmas season because there's so much to do. So I'm hoping that as we enter into that Advent season, you will find ways to refocus. And we're going to try and help you with suggestions in the announcements, with what we do in worship week by week to try and not just refocus on Sunday, but to help us refocus Monday, Tuesday, and so on. The church year goes through all the events of Jesus' life and then the death and resurrection and then kind of goes into this void or limbo kind of thing after Pentecost, when it's the season of creation, where it's just basically, okay, Let's just explore more of the themes of faith and Christianity. And then at the end of that, it comes to this Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year, and they made it Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King Sunday is just a reminder that part of our faith is that Jesus is coming. He's coming again, and he's going to establish his kingdom over the whole earth. There is no Christian confession in all the scattered denominations of the world, nothing that's truly Christian and biblical that doesn't include the promise of his return. Because Jesus made that promise over and over again. And quite frankly, if you think you can skip out of that promise and think, oh, that doesn't sound right, it's been 2,000 years. That's what they were saying after 20 years. You know, they were worried that he wasn't coming back. But if you can believe that Jesus said he loves you because the Bible tells you so. The same words of Jesus tells you that he's returning again. He's going to finally set things right. And that's good news. Sometimes because people read about, you know, in Revelation and even in Matthew, in the little apocalypse, as they call it, Jesus talks about all the horrible things that are coming. And people think, well, that's the end times. Jesus has a different opinion. First of all, the goal of his return is to establish his goodness in all the earth. Now, in Revelation, in chapter 11, the daily Bible study, that the evening Bible study has been happening every day, every weekday for 3 years, is now into Revelation. Or maybe are you at the end yet? No, it takes a long time to get through Revelation. Short book. Lots of stuff to get through. In chapter 11, we're at one of the repeats of the idea of seven. Seven of this, seven bowls of wrath, seven trumpets. There's seven all over it. And the seventh is the idea of completion. That this is the big moment. And it says, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, And there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." That's good news. There's a couple things, and I've noticed as I've been listening to different preachers online and on Christian radio, like David Jeremiah said, he used to believe that the new heaven and the new earth would be preceded by the complete destruction of this heaven and earth, and then there'd be a whole new creation that was separate and different. But he's come to realize the Bible teaches that the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of the Christ. And he's realized that it's the renewal of this world that is the new world, the complete renewal. I know some people in on the Bruce I don't know the people. I know some examples of people that live on the Bruce escarpment, you know, the Bruce the Niagara escarpment, and there's all kinds of regulations about what you can do there with your house. And I've heard of people who they can't put a new house. They have to renovate the old house. So they tear down the old house except for one wall and build a whole bunch of stuff. Then they renovate that by tearing down the last wall and building the rest of the new house. It takes a lawyer, doesn't it? But the renewal of the earth is this complete renewal. Complete renewal without the destruction of what God made so well in the beginning. It's the restoration of everything. And that's good news. In fact, I love this. The following verse is, "And 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying..." Now, I know, I'm not trying to mock, but sometimes we get worried about people raising their hands. How would you feel about people falling on their faces to worship? The scripture has all kinds of postures for worship, which are not necessarily appropriate at all times. There are times when just falling on your knees, because, in fact, there's a song about the return, about eternity, about being in God's presence that was recently sung by Mercy Me, and it's called "I Can Only Imagine." And they talk about how are they going to react when they're in the presence of God in eternity, in the new heaven and the new earth. And they're going like, am I going to sing praise to God, or am I going to be unable to say a word? You know how that is, right? When you're so, so filled with joy that nothing comes out. And other times when you're so filled with joy, you can't stop. Just can't stop singing and shouting and dancing and cheering. Like, I remember 1972, Paul Henderson's Goal. Oh, yeah. And, you know, some people... I like to remember that Nicky Gumbel talks about the British stiff upper lip kind of thing, that, you know, you don't show any emotion unless you're at a football game. And we are at our best emotionally when we're at a, you know, some really tight contest between, it used to be us and the Russians all the time, then it became us and the U.S. But as long as it's us, our emotions are unleashed. There's joy that just bursts forth. We don't decide, I think I'll raise my hands at this moment. We just, wow. We shout out, yes! I remember being at a soccer game, and my boy Ben shot like a great shot right into the net, like from a great distance. He was like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, somewhere like that. And I was trying to be mocking and going, that's my boy. And I shouted out, that's my, and my voice broke as I would say, that was my boy. There's joy in the good news that the kingdoms of this world have been made into the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ forever. There's good news. And these elders in the 24 thrones, it's my guess, and other commentators will correct me and tell me I'm a heretic. It's my guess that the 24 thrones represent the 12 tribes of Israel, which means all of Israel. And the other 12 thrones, because 12 means all of Israel, the other 12 thrones mean all of the nations. I think it's symbolic of the people of every tongue and every tribe, of every generation, of people from 2,000 years ago, people from today, people from who knows how many generations in the future, that should he tarry, as they say, that all these elders represent the whole earth going, thank you, Jesus, for cleaning things up. And they say, and I've got to say, this is the voice of the persecuted church, and it sounds a little angrier than we get sometimes. But I think we have to hear that voice. They say, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who was, who is and was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry with you. Your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and your saints and those who revere your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. We don't often note that the judgment of God involves destruction as well as elevation. But actually, I think I could get a few climate change people on board with this one. Destroying those who destroy the earth sounds like good news for some. And if you've been ground down, like many of our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church, like these generations of Christians who received this good news from the revelation that was given to John, they were being persecuted. They had lost family. They had been imprisoned. They had been abandoned. They had been suffering so much. And there was some joy that it was all going to be set right. That those people who had killed their children or their parents or their loved ones were going to be stopped finally and forever from doing what they were doing. Now it's our prayer that anyone who persecutes us would be stopped from doing it by coming to Jesus. Jesus himself declares, as he reveals himself to the prophet Ezekiel, he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but I desire that they should turn from their wickedness and live. And so I don't want to overemphasize the destruction side. The greatest destruction of sin is when a sinner becomes a saint. And that's what we pray for. That's what we long for. Even when we sometimes in our hearts, in our gut, in our sinful nature ourselves, we go, oh, I would love to see that person get what's coming to them. But then we go, no, Lord, give them something better than that. Give them redemption. Give them life. They're living death. And I want them to have life. That's what we pray for. But we know that there has to come a time when an end is put to evil. We can't, many atheists say, how can the God of love and infinite power allow evil to exist in the world? And our answer is, he won't. Not forever. I think that's a good answer. So why doesn't God stop all? He will. And then they read this and say, I don't want God to do that. That sounds horrible. You say you want it to stop. Which is it? Do you want it to stop or do you want it to keep going forever? And Paul sets into this, you know, don't think that God is slow to put a stop to evil, to return, to come and set everything right. This is his patience, giving as many people as much time as possible to turn from their wickedness and live. Good news. But we also see that there is a place. I remember Martin Luther King Jr., one of his speeches about the bus boycott, about, was it Rosa Parks? And he says, now, Rosa was patient, but she was tired, and she wanted to sit down. Now, she was very patient. She'd been patient for years and years. And he says, now, patience is a virtue, he says, but it's not the only virtue. And then he talks about the virtue of doing something about the unrighteousness in the world. So we can't have it both ways. We either want this unrighteousness to end, and we want to end, we who trust God's wisdom want it to end the way God wants it to end. We might think we've got a better idea, but God knows how to bring this to an end full of grace, truth, and justice. And some people read into these things what they'd like the end to be. They add interpretation and so on, and they make it really, really messy, or they make it really, really like, oh, everybody finally, you know, if they decide not to repent, God changes their mind. It's like, yeah, this is sort of Stepford salvation. Do you guys know the book, The Stepford Wives? Where these guys replace their wives with robots that do whatever they want? That's not salvation. If God replaced you, if God just said, I'm going to rewire your brain so you're not you anymore, but then I'll have somebody in your body that loves me, that wouldn't be fair. So God does what God does, and he is wise in doing it, and we get a kind of description of it here. His love and his mercy, his truth and his righteousness, all are one, and everything is set right. The evil don't get to hold us hostage forever. Now, that is good news. That is good news for us now. Because whatever you're going through, God can make it right. Isn't that amazing? Because I know what some of you are going through, and God can make it right. It's sometimes you go, I don't know how he's going to make it right. It's like those Pharisees who said, this woman was married to seven different men. Which one will she be married to in the resurrection? Obviously, there's no resurrection because God would be stymied by that problem. I was going to have a resurrection, but I'm calling it off because I don't know who this woman is married to. Sometimes I look at the mess and confusion that the world is in, and I think, Lord, how are you going to straighten out all this tangle? But he's going to. It boggles my mind. But it's good news. Whatever else you read in Revelation, whatever you read about the end times, if somebody is portraying it as something other than good news, they're missing the point. And there's so much terror and confusion going on in the days when Jesus returns that many people attribute the terror and confusion to God. But Jesus says he comes to bring an end to that terror and confusion. We think we've had it bad because we've had 3 years of pandemic. This is the lightest pandemic the world has ever known. You know that? For all that we've been through, our forebearers went through so much more. I think I spoke about the pastor in one town in Germany who did 4,000 funerals 1 year, including his wife. And he buried two of the other pastors in town, so he was the only pastor left to do the funerals. He did 50 funerals in 1 day. And he wrote, now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom the world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on the way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. He wrote that for his kids in the midst of all that, after their mother had died, to recognize that God can set everything right. It's going to be okay. And as we go through the troubles of this life, the personal troubles and the corporate troubles, the loss of ability, you know, when you can't get out anymore, when you can't go up and down the stairs anymore, when you can't hear things very well. I remember my grandmother at in her early 80s, she got cataract surgery. And I was just astonished because I was sitting there having tea with her, and she was just amazed. She could. Did you know that pine trees have needles on them? She'd look. She had all these beautiful trees in the backyard, and they were just kind of a yellow-brown blur. Things had color again. And she was like a little child, just delighted because her sight had been restored. It's a little bit presumptuous of me to say so, but I ask you to consider the joy you will have when whenever it is you're losing or have lost is restored. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you will restore all things. All the good that there is and that there was is yours to restore. And we pray even now that you would restore our souls in advance of this day when you will come, that we would be able to, with joy and gladness, share the good news of your salvation with people who are in darkness and in shadow, and show them that your light has come already. Through Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.